Hey guys, Dustin Nguyen.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder.
This is Paul Dini.
And you're listening to Bat Force Radio.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to Bat Force Radio, so stay tuned.
Welcome back to Bat Force Radio, everyone. Let's go on and get started. We'll go around the room real quick to get you all reacquainted with us. We got Grandpa Batman, also known as Grandpa...
Grandpa Guano Man.
There you go. In Dallas, Texas.
Howdy.
We got Robin DeCross over in Canada.
I want to talk more about Grandpa Guano Man.
I'm Bat Force Tom in California, and today... I already fucked that one up. joining us this evening is a man currently blowing up and receiving much deserved recognition and praise. He's worked on Thor, Doctor Strange, Venom, to name a few over at Marvel. And he is the creator of the hit Jurassic League, which will be adapted to an upcoming animated DC feature, Mr. Juan Gedeon. How do you pronounce your last name, guys. Juan?
You did it right, Gedeon, yeah.
Okay, awesome.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've been wanting to get you on for a while now. I want to say you came across my radar. It was a Dark Knight Returns piece that you had done. I wish I had uploaded it. Mm. I'll probably splice it in. But it's like it was a Dark Knight Returns, yeah. Batman holding, like, I mean, you had it all, like, teched out. It was, like, heavy tech piece. I think he's on top of a tank, maybe. And he just looked beefy and beautiful. Mm. And I can't remember where I saw that piece. And I was like, oh my God, this looks awesome. And then I saw that you were going to be at WonderCon. So I checked out more work that you had done. And I just saw some of the other stuff you had done. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool looking. Gigantic, muscular, monster stuff. And so... as a result, I got in touch with you, and I got this piece done by you.
Well, you did
it. Yeah. This Mr. Freeze, which...
Oh, the memories.
Oh, man. And I'll probably try and upload a picture of it. This video doesn't do it justice, but the detail that you put into this piece was unreal.
Yeah. And, oh, thank you, man.
Yeah, just you like really went off on it, so I really appreciate that. And,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so that was several years ago. Mm-hmm. Since then, like we just mentioned in the intro, you're absolutely killing it, crushing it. The next thing that I feel like was just amazing to see was this in the pages of Venom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Working on some of this stuff. For those who are listening, we have this up on YouTube, and you can see some of the work that Juan's been doing, but... yeah, so going from, why don't you tell us a little bit about, like, what got you started? How did you get into comics? What's your kind of origin story and kind of what brought you to currently?
Oh, man. Okay, so I have memories of when I was a kid, like, being exposed to, like, I mean, no one in my family liked comics, so I didn't have a lot of, like, guidance or... you know, orientation. It was just like me trying to figure things out. So the first books that I read were like the Ninja Turtle comics based on the cartoon from the, I think they were done in like, I don't know when they were made in the US, but I saw it in Argentina in the early 90s. For those who don't know, I'm from Argentina and I came to the States in 2015. So those were like the first books that I read, and like some loose issues of the Justice League or Batman. But then I think things changed when I saw Spawn for the first time. When I saw, I don't remember, I think it was issue 24 or 25. He fights with this character called the Curse. And he has a hole, Spawn has a hole in the chest. And the Curse is like crucified with cables in an alley. And I'm like, to me, like up to that point, that was the best art that I've ever seen in my life And I'm like, I want to do this. I don't know how, I don't know when, but it's, I'm going to make it. And it was that issue of Spawn. And I remember I went to a comic book store and I had to choose between Spawn and Max issue one, the Max from Sam Keith. And for some reason I went with Spawn. And then I went back and later on looked at the Max, and obviously they're both like some of my favorite books. Then, so that's how I started reading comics, like seriously, you know, quote unquote, like not only superhero stuff. And then I started taking lessons. I started drawing lessons when I was 11. It was pretty, like, looking back, I haven't thought about it in a while until someone asked me last week, but it was pretty like mystical in a way, because it was like 11-year-old me at a comic book shop on Fridays. Like, the stores close at 8 p.m. in Buenos Aires, right? So after the store closed, they would keep it open for drawing lessons. And there was a comic book artist from Argentina called Rubén Merigi. He drew Conan and a bunch of stuff for Europe and Italy, some Conan issues for Marvel, and stuff for Argentina. But it was like, almost like being in a temple or something, because I was with all these adults. They all were like artists or trying to be artists. And we had this dude who was like, at that point, he was like Obi-Wan or Gandalf, you know, for me.
He was like an actual professional.
Yeah. So it was awesome. And he showed me like books that I never seen, artists that I never seen. He was a huge fan of Romita Jr. So I was exposed to that. John Bogdanov. So I was looking at that stuff. And then that's how things started. And work-wise, my first job as an artist was, I was an assistant at a studio doing storyboards for commercials. Nothing fun, unfortunately, nothing exciting. I was just doing boards for commercials, like a family serving like a drink or a mom changing diapers, and it was for a diaper commercial, or like for a gas station, like stuff like that. So I was pretty miserable, but thankfully my bosses were huge comic book fans. They wanted to be comic book artists, didn't want to do storyboards for commercials. So they were like my I didn't go to college or university, but for me that felt like college, like university. Like they showed me how to use, they taught me how to use Photoshop. I didn't even have a scanner at my house. So they taught me how to use a scanner, how to clean up the files, anatomy, composition, sequentials, because I cut my hand like coming out of the shower today before this. and I owe them so much. So yeah, that's how it started, before wow. Marvel, before DC, before everything.
When you were in the comic, how old were you when you were doing that comic shop like apprenticeship?
I started at 11, and I was going like very, very steady. I was very steady. And I did that for like 4 years, I want to say. And then the comic book store stopped doing that. And then I was going to the artist house. He had like a studio, and like a bunch of artists went to his house. It was like a very nice time. It was a very nice time.
Wow, that's amazing. It's like at the time at the shop, it was like open to whoever wanted?
Anyone. And it was awesome, because we would like go over anatomy. We would talk about comics. We would grab a book from the shelf and start like talking about it. Sometimes this dude would like tear them apart, like destroy the artist that was doing that book. But, you know, the bookstore also had like toys, like Spawn figures. And at that time, what toys were coming out? I think that this was 98, 99. So I think Sirius, the Curse of the Spawn, and the series that had the Creech. There was a Creech action figure, and I think they had those toys. So we would like look at the toys, and like I was kind of poor, so I couldn't afford them. So I would just like drool over the toys and like, you know, get excited with that. And that was like a huge, it was like fueling my mind, you know. Mm-hmm. I was like absorbing all this.
The toys to kind of like, and a light source to kind of show how to render anatomy in certain ways? Or just for posing, how to draw?
No, we had them. They were part of the store, so the store would sell them. So we couldn't like take them out of the box.
Oh, they were like, still in the box.
We would just like look at them, geek out, and then put them back on the shelf.
Oh, okay.
But it was like before YouTube, I think internet was starting out, but it was super old school. So it was everything on paper. It was 98, 99. Mm-hmm. So everything on paper, we would get like bodybuilding magazines, and we would study the muscles by looking at bodybuilders and the veins and like the shadow. We were like super, super old school. And it's funny, when we were, you know, you started drawing a man's face, the woman's face, the man's body. And by the time we had to draw the female body, the dude was like, hey, guys, we have to get some magazines. So I hope your mom's okay with this. But we're going to look at some like Playboy, you know, it's like soft, like nothing too, you know, risque. Inappropriate. So but tasteful. We would have like it was like the Playboy magazine.
You were getting them for the articles.
Right. So I would, and that's how I drew the first women. I didn't have a girlfriend, anything, so that it's not like I could ask my like a girlfriend to pose for me. So I would just like draw from that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Back, so, you know, some of our favorite artists right now have such a similar timeline where, like, you know, the 90s, the image kind of boom and all that is exploding, and you know, you're experiencing that too in Argentina. What over here? I remember at that time, even if you weren't reading comics, I feel like that was everywhere. Like you just mentioned, the toys, toys were very popular here. Like, you know, you're getting all the McFarlane stuff is coming out. Trading cards were huge. Like Marvel trading cards were huge. Like kids had that at school. Wizard magazine, I feel like, was massive. Yeah. Like if you had a drugstore or, you know, so that's kind of like that was like the culture of the, even if it wasn't you going to a comic shop or getting comics, you were getting some form of comic art. Yeah. For you guys in Argentina, what was it like at that time? Like, what was the culture of it like in society for you guys over there?
We had the comic book shops that had like toys that you wouldn't see at a regular toy store, like the Spawn figures eventually made it to like regular toy stores, but initially you would just find them at comic book shops. Same with the statues. You could find like comic books at newsstands. Like you could do that fairly easy, but the thing is that this was before the internet, before everything. So if like by the time I saw Spawn issue 25 in the US, they were probably around issue 100 or something like that. So everything got there like way later. Same with cartoons. Same with the toys. Like I didn't see. Like you guys probably seen the evolution of like, we're talking so much about Spawn and the toys, but like you've probably seen Spawn series 1, issue series 2, until they became like this almost like mini statues that had very limited articulation. But for me, no, we just saw everything at once because they got to Argentina like very, very late. So that's how it went. And things were like pretty affordable back then. They were pretty affordable compared to the economic situation now in Argentina. They were very affordable, but still, I was so poor that even back then I couldn't get them.
So you moved from Argentina to the U.S. What was the cause of the move? Was that for work or just unrelated?
It was work. Well, it was two things. Like I left Argentina in 2011, but first I didn't come to the US initially. First, I was in Mexico. I lived in Mexico for 4 years. I was working in animation, like doing storyboards, character design, and stuff like that. Then that project ended, but I was still living in Mexico. I loved it. It was like with my salary there, I was like living well. Then we started, a friend and I started working for Dark Horse. We were doing a Tomb Raider, but living in Mexico. So getting paid in dollars, it was like a huge, it was very like beneficial. And then my Mexican work visa, like the equivalent of the work visa in Mexico, was about to expire. So I had like the opportunity to either like, renew it or go back to Buenos Aires. But I had my tourist visa. I was working with Marvel at that time doing Ghost Rider. And then after Ghost Racers 1 came out, Skybound sent me an email offering me a series. So I basically, right after I was done with Marvel, I already had a new project like waiting for me. So that's why I came to the, that's how I came to the States with work.
Wow.
But okay. I ended up in, the reason I ended up here, I live in California in like LA area. It's because I knew people here. Like I had friends. If my friends had been in Texas, I would have gone to Texas because I was crashing at their place. If they had been in New York, I would have gone to New York. But it just so happens that LA is such a good spot if you're doing art, if you're interested in animation. All the movie studios are here, but it was just for me, it was just luck. Like I didn't plan on it, you know. Then you learn that there's people who move to LA and they want to become actors, they want to be in the entertainment industry, and I was like, oh, I have a friend there, I'll just go to LA.
Yeah. It was like, it wasn't the, yeah, and I did a little, I'm not stalking you. I was doing a little research just, about your story. And I found out that you're actually currently living in my hometown. Yeah. Dude, so,
right on.
Yeah, man. I grew up just up the street from the San Gabriel Mission on Mission Drive. So,
I live right there. Yeah.
I grew up on Mission Drive and Las Tunas Boulevard. So I could walk down to the Mission, you know, all the time. So I was hearing you talk about the area and hearing you describe the area. And it's exactly what you were saying. You know, it's really quiet. It's mainly old people.
I love it.
It's relaxed. There's no bars on the windows. Nobody has like fences or gates. It's safe.
No. They leave the shoes outside by the door. No one takes them. Yeah.
And it's funny you mentioned it because I really – shout out. I miss this place. Shout out to Nostalgic Comics in they used to be in the San Gabriel, the little San Gabriel village. And I think they moved to Del Mar. Are they on Del Mar now?
They are. They were like, I don't want to give my address.
Do that. Yeah.
Edit, cut that out. I'll cut that out. Now they moved to they're in front of the library in Del Mar. Yes.
Okay. Del Mar. Yeah.
That avenue sucks because it's just one lane, and if you have a slow person in front of you, you're like stuck there. So I try to avoid
all the old people live. All the old people live right there. My grandparents used to live right there. That's how I know that they lived right there off of Del Mar, and it was just. And that's how I found his shop is because one day I was just driving, you know, to my grandma's house, and I'm like, "There's a comic shop in here. This is amazing."
Yeah.
And it was such an awesome little setup that he had in there. So.
Yeah, it was awesome. I remember when I moved here, before San Gabriel, I was living in East LA. And I remember when I found this area and I saw that shop, you know, it's not like Meltdown was or Gold, you know, it's like smaller, right? Mm. But I saw it as a sign that I was moving like in the right direction, that I was meant to be in this area. Like, and now I was talking to a friend, and even if I wanted to move, I can't move right now for different situations. But it felt like fate or destiny, you know.
Yeah, it's a nice little area, and like you said, mm-hmm. you're close enough to you know, if you want to be close to the entertainment industry, you can just right. hop on the freeway and you're there in 20-30 minutes. You know, you're not far at all.
Yeah.
So it's yeah, a nice yeah. centralized it's a location. Great location.
Yeah.
I love it. Juan, I wanted to circle back to you know, you talked about using bodybuilding magazines to
the Playboy too. How,
well, no, I mean, because your art is. I mean, and I mean this totally as a compliment. You have a style yeah. where you like big, massive muscle characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
You know, with big old traps and tight butts and, you know, yeah. all that.
Big old arms.
Does that come from the yeah. bodybuilding, you know, study?
Yeah. It comes from I think, a few things. I think recently I found like a deeper explanation for that. And I think what I'm trying to convey with my work is like strength, you know, like strength in this case, it's like physical, but I feel like the big muscles and the veins and the big size represent that like strength. But I also, because I don't know how to portray like your inner strength or your inner like spirit or resilience. So when you see a muscular guy, you think, oh, this dude can like beat the crap out of me, or this dude has the discipline of like going to the gym or like stuff like that, or he can probably fight. So that's something that I'm interested in. Like one of my regrets, biggest regrets, is like never practicing like a martial art. Like I would have, if I have to get into a fight, like I could probably defend myself, but I don't have the technique or the knowledge, you know, and I regret that. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So it comes from that. And also like my favorite artist, like Simon Beasley, he draws like big muscles, the veins and stuff. And to me, it's like fun for, it's like a parody of like of a human being, like,
right.
Like no person can like achieve those physiques in a natural way.
And move
like that. So drawing dudes like that, it's like fun. To me, it's like so much fun.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
And it ends up making, I mean, it's perfect for this exact character, like Venom. Like,
right.
Yeah. I remember when you first started posting this specific picture, I was like, dude, mm-hmm. that's so, look at that back. That yeah. of course Venom would look like that, you know.
Right, right.
And it's funny. I just recently rewatched a video of Todd McFarlane talking about how much he hated Spider-Man 3 because of what how Venom didn't look like that. And he goes, "Oh, you see Topher? He's like not even big. Okay, once you got to turn into a big guy, he never turns into a big guy, you know." And he just like he's so upset that Venom is so small. So this is
I love that impersonation, version. By the way.
Oh, thanks, man. It's just well, I got to tell you, know, you're the kind of guy that when I see this kind of work. That's good comic book. That's how your comic book right there. That's how your comic book. Okay, that's a comic book right there. Yeah, but yeah, yeah. I mean, it's
thank you.
It's definitely something that I think, you know, that spirit of that time, like mm-hmm. really really gravitated towards that is like the big bombastic muscular yeah. large, you know, style, and it feels like this resurgence right now because. All of the artists that were mm-hmm. kids that were getting that
right,
at that time
right.
and yeah. inspired by it, now you guys are the pros, and now you guys are the ones that are making the books, and so it right. feels like fuck yeah, like this is like what I was reading when I was a kid, and now these guys are grown up, and now they're making it again, you know?
Right, right, yeah, it's like a cycle, you know? I see yeah. it as a cycle, and yeah, to your point, like I agree that. I'm trying to figure out a way to say things in a way that I wouldn't get in trouble, but I hate like 99% of the stuff that's being published right now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So I'm drawing the way I want things to look like. I'm drawing the stuff that I want to see. Yeah. I'm trying to design the characters the way I want them to look. you know, when I go to Target, I still go to Target and I go to the toy section or Walmart. Yeah. So, and I see like some of the toys that are being made right now. I'm like, what happened? I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's me getting old and the old person in me saying, oh, it was before things were better before, you know. But yeah, I 100%, like I agree with what you said. I'm trying to do the things that made me happy as a kid. I'm trying to replicate them. But it's funny that, you know, they're also informed by the things that I absorb through my life. So it's not, I think it's not 100% like the Ninja Turtles from the cartoon that I grew up with. Does that make sense? That mm-hmm. I'm trying to make that, but inform with like new things, mm-hmm. like put new things in the mix, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's obviously working because now, mm-hmm. You know, Jurassic League is now going to be made into its own feature movie. So obviously people like that stylized, you know, mm-hmm. well, I mean, it's just a fun concept anyway. You got Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman as dinosaurs. And then they're mm-hmm. just, like you said, parodies of humans and dinosaurs. And it's just a big, massive ball of fun.
Mm. Yeah.
So
real quick, issue 3 or 4 spoiler, look away, mm-hmm. avert your eyes if you have not read yet, but
mm-hmm.
That's a cool image right there that kind of speaks to where the story goes. But
So how who designed and how did y'all decide who gets what type of dinosaur in the story?
Okay, so again, this was during, I forget what year was it, 2020, 2021, but I just finished drawing it was like a pretty fun, but at the same time, a little dense issue called Multiverse's End, which is like a double issue, 40 pages, and it's the epilogue of Death Metal, Black Knights, Dark Knights, something like that, Multiverse End. I don't remember exactly, but it was like they sent me a folder with reference, and the folder was like 1 gig in size. So as I'm reading the script, I have to go to this folder to find out who this character is and what costume are they wearing and blah 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 blah. So at some point, I'm like, man, I'm kind of tired of superheroes. I'm tired of like drawing people. Like I'm just over it. So, but the thing is that, you know, it's easy to just complain and be like a hater or be like, but I had this conversation with myself and I kind of said, okay, so since you hate this so much, what do you do? What would you do to change things? You know, I'm like, okay, let's think about it. What do I want to draw? I want to draw monsters. I want to draw monsters fighting. I like dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are kind of like monsters. How do I pitch it to DC? And I remember when I was doing the last page of that book, I pulled an all-nighter. So my brain was fried. I was like ready to pass out, but I couldn't because my brain was still like running like this. So I go for a walk and I started having all these thoughts that I just mentioned. And I thought, oh, what about the 90s? This video game called Primal Rage. What if we do Primal Rage, but I dress the dinosaur as Batman, and this other one can be Superman. This other one can be Wonder Woman. I mean, I'll just run with it. I'll just give it a shot. This is all I got. So that's how it came up. That was like the genesis of it. And then I was trying to use a dinosaur that would capture the essence of the DC counterpart, even without the suit, you know? So I was thinking, you know, in Jurassic Park, when they see the dinosaurs with the long neck, one of the characters says, oh, think of it as a cow, like as a giant, imagine it's a giant cow or something like that. So when you think about it, it's like cows are like harmless, they're good, they're herbivores, so they don't hurt anyone. It's like you literally eat them. They give you milk. They give you a bunch of stuff. So they're like pretty noble, good animals, you know. So I thought, oh, these would be a good dinosaur for. But they're also strong. Like cows are strong. Bulls are strong. The long-necked dinosaurs, the Brontosaurus, are very strong and heavy and big. So, oh, this should be Superman. Because Superman doesn't hurt a fly, you know, doesn't kill. He should be Superman. And that was like the thought process for all of them. Like Wonder Woman, she's a, obviously she's a woman, but she's very tough. She can handle herself. He can defend herself against, I don't know, Darkseid or like some heavy hitters. So I thought, okay, he should be like a good looking dinosaur, like a noble looking dinosaur, but also like strong.
A good looking dinosaur. That was funny.
Yeah. I meant like noble, like,
okay.
And I read that supposedly Triceratops could kill a T-Rex. So I thought, oh, okay, that's pretty badass. So I grabbed the Triceratops for Wonder Woman. But if you notice like how they portray anthropomorphic females, you know, they make them like with the skinny waist and like breasts and like a wider butt or waist again. With curves. Yeah, like hourglass. And I'm like, no, like I want to design a female dinosaur that I would have gotten the figure if I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Like when the He-Man toys were out, I would never get the She-Ra toys or Sorceress. I wouldn't do that. But if it was like dinosaurs, you don't know like the sex of the dinosaur. It just looks awesome. So for Wonder Woman, that was my mentality. That's why I didn't draw like boobs or a big butt or a small waist. I use this reference like female weightlifters, and female weightlifters look they favor strength over like the what do you call it,
like a traditional, yeah, like a traditional, yeah, like, yeah, female physique,
right
yeah
so that's awesome. That was like my thought process.
Okay. How did they're going to make toys of those? You know it's coming out. What's that going to be like? I mean, I can't wait for you to get some of those in your hands.
Oh, thank you, man. I hope so. I hope so, too.
I can say. All right. Well, I took a look at this book, and I said, we got to make figures of this. This comic book has to be action figures.
Yeah. Hopefully soon.
That's what happens.
That'd be a crazy awesome what do you call it? Cycle, right? Where you're looking, little 11-year-old Juan is looking at a McFarlane figure for like reference. Boys. And then later on, now you're holding a McFarlane toy of your own stuff.
Yeah. So that's wild. That'd be crazy.
So you have this idea of this book. It's it's crazy. It's an insane idea. And how did the process go to pitch it to DC?
Oh, it was pretty straightforward. I was like good friends with my editor, Katie Kubert. She was my editor at that time. And it just so happens that it was like a perfect storm because she's also a huge dinosaur nerd. So it was like, I like dinosaurs, she likes dinosaurs. And I remember there's this anime, and it's also a manga called Bakuman. And it's about two kids that... they want to be manga artists. So, but these anime is so much fun and so informative, but they also like teach you about the relationship with your editor and how having affinity makes the final product so much better. So I thought, oh, this would be a great thing to pitch to Katie. Like if this gets approved, it has to be with her, you know? So I told her the idea. Then I wrote like a one-page Word document with like the synopsis. She said, incorporate some character designs. They were very rough sketches. And that was pretty much it. I just sent them a synopsis, character designs. And, you know, I was constantly asking for updates, but it took, because they have meetings, you know, they have meetings and they say, okay, what books are we going to do? What books are we going to prioritize? So it was like, it took like 6 months for it to get like approved, but it happened. And the legend says that Jim Lee was in the meeting and he said yes.
That's awesome.
To Jurassic League.
Yeah.
He probably, yeah.
It's something completely different than like, I'm sure what they had on their slate with other books. Right. And probably. Like what you were saying earlier, I don't think that your thought process is much different than maybe the average comic book reader right now, because I know, you know, like we love the characters and stuff like that, but we're no dummies. And we do hear sometimes that a lot of readers say that like DC sometimes can be oversaturated with certain types of books. Right. And it's hard when you have so many creators kind of wanting to write a certain type of book. And maybe sometimes it's similar. This is completely different. And what you mentioned, right. It's like, oh God, like superheroes, people, like I'm kind of burned out on it. Right. And it's like, you're feeling the way that maybe the reader is also kind of feeling. And I think that's one of the reasons why when I first heard this book, when they first kind of did the solicits for it. And like, I was like, look, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, that's literally what I thought. It's like, I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like looking at the thing, reading about it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. Right. And it's like, okay. But the thing is like, you kind of have to check it out because it's so insane, you know?
Right, right.
And that's awesome. To kind of do, because I remember collecting the issues as they were coming out, and then, but I don't remember like hearing what other people were saying about it, right? So I recently went back and I just kind of like, you know, was like, I was watching YouTube videos of people quote unquote reviewing the book, right? Yeah. And it's so funny because I swear to you, I watched about like maybe 5 or 6 different like reviews on YouTube. Not one negative review. All of them.
Oh man,
all
that's
of them,
awesome.
All of them were, this book's kind of fucking crazy, but it works. Like all of them said that. They were like, this book is insane, but it works. And everyone, what's funny is like, I think it was issue 4 where you hopped off for the issue.
Yeah.
And then you came back
and
issue 4.
Yeah.
And every single one complained. That was their complaint. The only complaint was that you were off of the art. And then when you came back, all of them were like, we're back on track. You know, the artist is back.
Awesome.
And yeah, so it's so funny because it's like exactly what you're talking about. It seemed as if the audience was kind of looking and waiting for something that's crazy, but also refreshing. And it's a hit. It's a hit. So much so that like, they were like, okay, what else can we do with this? And how did that process then come from? Where like, how does this thing turn into a DC animated film? And how did you hear about it? How did that kind of come about?
Oh man, that's crazy. I'm going to try to answer the question without getting in trouble because I think there's some stuff that I cannot say.
Okay.
But I like,
and if you do, let us know. We'll always snip, cut it out. Right.
I don't want to sound like arrogant or anything, but I thought, like, I just wanted a chance, you know, I just wanted a chance. You just give me a shot. I know this is insane, but like what you just described, that the way readers were feeling is like what I was feeling. And that's why they responded this way too drastically, is that that was probably in my subconscious. So I thought, I mean, if this book had come out in the 90s, it would have been like the Street Sharks or the Ninja Turtles or any of those things. So I realized that those guys, like what you're describing, that the artists that were kids in the 90s now are the ones making books and designing the characters. So all the dudes that grew up with the Street Sharks, with the Ninja Turtles, Thundercats, you name it, is the people that now have money and they like what they liked as a kid. They like the same stuff, like Star Wars. So I, like, deep in the back of my head, I thought this could be a hit, but not because of, like, I'm not tooting my own horn, but because of, you see the data and you see the empiric evidence of, like, Primal Rage is a cold hit. Like, there's, like, sculptors that are working for Sideshow that were huge fans of that video game. The same with Street Sharks, same with like all these things that I named. But going back to your question, it's like the movie department and the animation department, they're separate from like what I do. So it's like they can reach out to the artist if they want, but if they don't want to, they're not obligated, because It's like this thing basically belongs to DC
property. Wow.
Right. Which is it's different if, like, I don't know, like Walking Dead or Spawn. Yeah. Like Kierman owns Walking Dead, yeah. Spawn is owned by McFarlane, so it's a different beast. So we'll see what happens. That's my answer.
Okay. Well, I mean, at this point so far, you're credited in all the articles that I've read as your name is attached.
That's
to
awesome.
It.
That's awesome. That's
yeah. So I hope that continues, because, like, you know, this is your baby. So right. As fans, I would hope that you know, DC does right by you and kind of just involves you in the project, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I'll definitely keep you posted. And I obviously, when there's good news, I love to share the good news. Yeah. And yeah, I definitely give you a heads up.
If nothing else, this shows that, like, you can bet on yourself. For sure.
Yeah.
Right. Like that must have been just a huge injection of, like, just affirmation that, like, you were,
dude,
right. You
yes. Know? 100%. That's so huge. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Growing up and up to this point, like up to this day, I'm turning 37, but I always, like, for different reasons, but I struggle with, like, a very negative self-talk. Like low self-esteem, or like, oh, my work is never good enough, I'm never good enough, blah 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 blah. But like you said, like drastically is an example of, like, wait a minute, that crazy idea that I had kind of worked, and it just so happens that I have like 5 or 6 or 10 ideas like that, like sitting in my head, that I would like to, you know, bring it to the world at some point. And it makes me excited, because, I mean, I don't want to be like delusional, but like, you see Robert Kirkman, he generated so many IPs. Same with Todd McFarlane. I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm going to be like a millionaire, but I'll be happy with, like, just doing my own stuff, writing and drawing my own books, my own IPs, and just do that for the rest of my life. That would be awesome. And this makes me think that, okay, if that idea with the dinosaurs worked, maybe this other one can work too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something that, like, I think that it's, you know, with artists and different kind of mediums, it's not too dissimilar to, like, someone creating a film, right? You have this idea, right. You have this concept in your head. And it's a process. Like, you can't just go from one step to the end. Like, it's a process, right, of creation. And so you have an idea, you kind of nurture it, you tweak it, and then you have to create it. And then after you create it, you kind of put it out. And that whole process, like, is cathartic in itself, I think, for a lot of people. And it's extremely cathartic when you see, like, the fruit of it, you know? So this, like, this started as a crazy idea in your head. And now, like...
Yeah.
It's little kids are going to watch this, you know, on, on, like, streaming apps, you know, and I have a 7-year-old son, and it's been hard to kind of get him into comics. He's interested in obviously the art, but as far as, like, sitting and reading and, like, looking at that, but this was one of the first things that he gravitated towards, and he kept gravitating towards it on his own.
Oh, dude. Awesome.
It's something that I think speaks to the idea that this is something, like, very creative, and it's, you know, something that I think, is different, and it kind of touches, it scratches an itch of people that didn't know that they wanted it, or maybe, you know, sometimes a lot of the times, like you mentioned, Street Sharks, Primal Rage, like, it's so genius. Now that you mention it, it's like, oh my God, it's true. I could see it so much now in that stuff. So,
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to go back to something you said earlier, that you hate 99% of the comics coming out now.
No,
I'm curious,
dude,
what falls
as vague as possible.
I get it. I just want to ask, what falls in the 1%? What comics don't you hate?
Drastically.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I read stuff that some of my favorite, like the best thing I've read in, like, the last few years, it's like an online comic. and it's not even like a comic con. It's a Korean manga, and it's called, I think it's on Webtoons. They publish it as Viral Hit, and that's like the best thing I've read in a while. It's hilarious. It has great action scenes, and it's about, like, the short description is, it's a kid that gets, like, bullied at school, and he learns how to fight by watching YouTube tutorials. So he finds this channel of a dude with a mask of a rooster, and the dude is, like, jagged with scars and everything. And he's the rooster teaches, like, how to win, again, different techniques if you're not a martial artist. So this dude fights and wins in the most insane ways, but they're, what's crazy is that it's obviously fiction, but they're plausible. Like, I believe 100% that that's possible in real life. So that's why I like it so much.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. There's a guy in the UFC, Max Holloway, that he's one of the best, and he learned from playing video games.
I didn't know that.
UFC video games.
I didn't know that. Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I know, well, Max, he's also like a huge, I don't know if it's him or the wife, but they're like anime fans. Like they dress up as Chainsaw Man for Halloween. Yeah. So I like him even more after seeing that. But yeah, that's one thing. Viral Hit on Webtoons. Then One Punch Man for me is like one of the best things right now. One Punch Man. What else? And then there's books. There's a horror comic called Pumpkin Knight that it's a Japanese manga, but there's no physical, they don't publish it in the US. So you can only, unfortunately, you can only find it on like pirate websites.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about a girl that kind of like in the style of like, it's like a slasher. If you like Halloween, if you like Jason, Friday the 13th, you're going to like this book. It's about a girl that gets like bullied at school, then she dies, but she comes back like old, like this figure and stuff, but she puts on a mask of a pumpkin, and he gets revenge on the people that kill her. But that book is insane. It's like, it makes Walking Dead feel like, the Muppets or it's insane. It's insane.
Oh, now I want to see zombie Muppets.
What's it called? Pumpkin Nights?
Pumpkin Night. Yeah. Yeah.
Like night, N-I. Like
N-I. Yeah. Without the K. Like night. Okay. N-I-G. Yeah. That's another one. And then I realized that as an adult, like there's many things that I missed, whether it's because I grew up in a different country or my, I don't know, maybe when I was focused on Spawn, I wasn't reading manga, so I missed a ton of really cool books that were coming out at that time. So yeah, I'm reading, I'm watching also a lot of anime. I recently finished rewatching, Dragon Ball Z from beginning to end. I'm a huge fan of boxing anime. Again, unfortunately, I think it's a disgrace that they don't publish the manga in the U.S., but it's called Hajime no Ippo. It's a boxing manga, sports manga. And that's I wasn't into boxing at all when I started watching this anime. And I started watching this thing, and I become like an expert in boxing. Like, yeah. I'm watching a fight. I'm like, oh, they're doing this move that I saw in this in this episode, and they should counter it in this way, or it's crazy because they make something so like there's no sports comics in the US, but the Japanese are such geniuses that they make you watch a boxing anime and you suddenly become a boxing fan. Or like volleyball. I don't like volleyball at all. I no interest in watching a volleyball game, but there's this anime called Haikyuu that it's fantastic. Even if you're not into volleyball, the it's so much fun. So that's like the 1% that I like.
I just naturally assumed that when you said I don't like 99% of comics, I just assumed you meant like big two, you know? Cause,
right.
Like you said, I don't, because there's a lot of good indie stuff. And like you mentioned, manga is so huge right now.
Yeah.
That it's definitely something that is, you know, not just growing in popularity. I think it's just now it's here, you know, big time.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was, and I don't know when maybe in your career you felt this, but have you had, and you probably had more than one, when was the moment when you realized, like, holy shit, like, I did it, or holy shit, I'm doing it?
Like, oh, man.
I'm a comic book artist. I'm actually working as That's a comic crazy. Book artist.
Yeah. Okay, so there's different ones, and I think they all mean different things. Like, I heard, like, one of the best advice that I read, I think it was from Sean Murphy, that he said something for people who want to break into the industry. And he said something like, your main goal should be to pay the bills with your art. That should be your main goal, whether it is storyboards for commercial, animation, illustration, tattoo, comics, whatever it is, comic strips, whatever. Your main goal should be to pay the rent with your drawings. And maybe in the beginning you need a 9-to-5, you know, and draw on your free time. And then slowly but surely, you know, it took a while, but that time that I was using to draw books as a side job, that started to take over. And suddenly I'm like, oh, okay, I'm paying the bills with this work that I'm doing in Mexico, like in this movie. So that was like the first time that I, well, not necessarily a comic book artist, but an artist. I considered myself an artist back then. And then the first gig with Tomb Raider for Dark Horse, it was like, okay, I went from paying the bills with animation to paying the bills with the comic book. And then it was Marvel, Ghost Racers. Oh, I have a mini series with Marvel. Like, that was like a milestone. And I think what you said earlier, that, you know, it sometimes it's hard to see yourself objectively, you know, because you can either be too, like, how do you say, like, either too arrogant or too, like, put yourself down, you know? So it's interesting when you said, oh, you're blowing up, or this is successful, you had this Jurassic League that it's a hit. So I feel like now I'm at a point where, okay, Jurassic League proved that it worked, that I have ideas. So my next step, it's like, I just want to do my own stuff, my own IPs. I would obviously draw a big two character for, you know, for fun or for to pay the rent. But my main goal right now is to explore these other ideas that I have and see how they do.
Yeah.
And the fact that people are excited, it's like, it's so encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
It's very encouraging.
Are you driven more to monsters or machines, would you say?
Oh, that's a great question. I like both.
Monster machines.
That alone could be the title of a comic book. But I would say... I would say monsters. Free. Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. But the thing with machines is that I'm bad with, like, the technical, with using a ruler or using, like, the straight lines and the mechanical, technical aspects of things. So that's why I have to go with monsters, because with monsters, it's like there's so much freedom. You know, if you mess up a hand, it's like, oh, it's just part of the design. You know, you don't have to be exact.
Yeah.
But with machines, you have to be so precise.
Yeah. What's interesting is technology might actually come back around and catch up to you, like with all like the AI stuff, not AI art. I mean, like actual artificial, like physical AI, like robots and stuff. Like if you look at some of the stuff that's being developed, like robotics and those videos of like, if they're making it look as human as possible, but it's a robot.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, maybe eventually the goal will be, they don't want to make the machines look angular or mechanic. They want it to look softer and rounded and more human-like. And so that would be cool, you know, kind of like Android-esque, where you can't tell that it's a machine. That's the scary part, is that, like, that's it's good. A machine. How that's do you good. Really know, though, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I
Terminator, then.
Right, yeah. Terminator.
We're moving towards Terminator, then.
Yeah. Or like Dragon Ball Z had the androids, and the androids looked like teenage grunge kids, you know? So it's totally valid. Yeah.
Yeah. When you work, what do you do to get yourself? Because God, I still can't believe our buddy Clay Mann. He says he listens to podcasts. Well, not just him. There's other artists too that they'll listen to things and draw at the same time. That yeah. like needs that requires attention. I don't understand how people can do that. For right. you, what do yeah. you need? Like, what needs to be happening around you for you to kind of be able to find yourself in that kind of zone?
Playboy magazines.
Yeah. Wait, yeah. That's funny. I used to do that, and like I used to listen to the radio and work, but it's like you said, it's like I'm paying attention to what these people are talking about, and it kind of helps, but recently, you know, I listen to music, but I try to avoid stuff with lyrics. Like someone said that to me, that oh, I try to avoid stuff with like vocals or lyrics, and I was like, oh really, does that work, does it work? And I started doing it, and it works. So I listen to like instrumental stuff. My favorites are, well, Caius has lyrics, has a vocalist, but like that kind of stuff, like Stoner. I like Buckethead is like one of my main ones. Oh, I'm sad. God. That yeah, dude, he's playing in at the Wheel Turn on June 14, but I'm gonna be at Heroes, so I'm gonna
miss shit.
It. I when I saw the date, I was like devastated because I can't say no to Heroes. It's like one of the best shows, mm-hmm. you know. And I don't know, but on the other hand, I don't know when Buckethead, because he's a hermit. He lives in a cave, yeah. you know. No one knows anything about him. So who knows when is he going to play again? So I was pretty devastated. But Buckethead, I also listen to a band from Israel. They sing in Hebrew. So I listen to that because it's like lyrics, but I don't understand what they say. So it's like the vocals sound like another instrument. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Electronics, nice. Some electronic, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who would you say, or what would you say has been your favorite thing that you've done up until this point, aside from obviously your baby, yeah.
Jurassic My baby? League,
aside from Jurassic League, what do you think, yeah. like, as you're doing it, you're like, holy shit, I can't believe I'm going to do this right now.
Dude, Venom, 100%.
Yeah.
Venom is like, I don't even have to think when I'm drawing Venom. It's like, it just comes out. Because Venom is like, it combines my knowledge about like male anatomy and muscles, but his face is like a monster. And since he's made of like this alien substance, I mean, there's a person there underneath, but he's covered with this alien substance that changes shape and size. So I think of him as a, like a bodybuilder, but he's also made of like rubber. So you can stretch, you know, it doesn't matter if you stretch the jaw, if you shrink the jaw, if you stretch an arm, because he can adapt to whatever he needs, you know, in that point. So Venom, hands down.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Gramps, should we do a lightning round?
Sure. Do you know what that is, Juan?
No, but I cannot wait to know. Can't wait to hear.
It's basically just our traditional way where we just ask silly questions and, you know, it's kind of designed to be off the spur of the moment and the top of your head.
I'll do my best.
What is your go-to karaoke song? You're out with Jim Lee. He wants to karaoke. You got to do it to get your next gig. What are you singing?
Tears for Fears. Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
That's nice. Awesome. Give us 15 seconds.
No, I can't. Sorry. I'm not drunk enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can wait.
How drunk do you have to get to sing karaoke?
Maybe not drunk, but I need like something. I need to maybe have a few beers or
take the edge off.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I can drink a lot and not pass out, but I need something. Now I'm like too sober. I'm too self-conscious. Yeah.
What's your drink of choice, man?
I'm very basic, just beer. Maybe a shot of tequila or a shot of whiskey. That's pretty much it. Like maybe wine. If someone else is having wine, I could share like a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But mostly a beer person.
Okay. What are some of your favorite movies? What style, genre do you like?
Oh, I have a very wide range. For example, one of my favorite movies of all time are like The Matrix, the first one, Mad Max Fury Road. But then there's a movie that I've seen a million times. It's called I Love You, Man, with Paul Rudd and Jason Segel.
Oh, yes.
And no one dies in that movie. There's no monsters, no explosion. no one gets shot. But
you
I
just
love
watch Paul Rudd slap a little bass.
Yeah, yeah. they have Rush in the movie. So,
Lou
yeah,
Ferrigno.
I think I... Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk, I'm a person. So, yeah, that kind of stuff. And then there's another movie called Chef with John Favreau.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that movie. Again, no one dies, no one gets killed, no monsters, nothing. But that movie is so awesome, so wholesome, so happy. And it makes me think of like a relationship of a father with his kid, you know, boy or girl. And as I'm watching that movie, I'm like, oh man, I wish I've had that relationship with my dad or my mom. And then, but it at the same time, I'm like, okay, maybe I didn't have it, but my daughter can have it with me. Mm-hmm. Like I can be like him with, I can be like John Favreau with his kid. I can be like that with my kid. So yeah, I keep that in my mind. And it's funny because I feel like, I identify with that character a lot. Like he was working for this restaurant,
right?
Mm-hmm. He quits and gets a food truck, and it's all crappy at the end, in the beginning. But then he, you know, he fulfills his like his dream or whatever. I feel like very related to that.
He bets on himself.
Yeah,
yes.
He bets on himself. He not only gets the food truck and
he gets Sofia Vergara again.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. He had a little Scarlett Johansson on the side.
Yeah, well, that was. Imagine if your side chick is Scarlett Johansson, and your main one is Sofia Vergara, dude. Come on,
man.
Only in the movie. Yeah,
now
only in the movie.
Now that makes me want to go to chef school because I mean, obviously,
yeah.
But yeah, he gets the food truck, but he also adapts everywhere he goes. He picks up a little bit of like local cuisine, like when they go to Texas.
Yeah. He's always observing and learning. Yeah.
Let's see. Do you have any other hobbies besides outside of music and sports or anything like that?
Hobbies. Well, recently I started like painting statues, like figures.
Oh.
I took a painting class with this awesome artist called Casey Love. And he paints like statues for sideshow. He paints masks for like movies, monsters for movies, stuff like that. And I painted like a bust. I have it somewhere. But that was so much fun, and that was like a hobby. You know, I used an airbrush for the first time. It was really fun. I would like to keep doing that, but I feel guilty because I'm like, oh man, I could be working. Mm. You know, that's the thing with hobbies. It's like, drawing was my hobby and then it became a job.
Mm.
So now I do that. But I don't have as many. But yeah, that could be one. I like to paint, like this like black, but I'm trying to give him some some highlights with blue. I don't know if you guys can see it.
Yeah.
Well, but it's a work in progress. I have this fish man right here. I don't have the other one that I painted. This the eyes are maxed out. Yeah, but I still have a lot to learn. But then, I mean, I don't know if it's considered a hobby, but like working out. I go to the gym. I try to go at least 3 times a week.
How much do you deadlift?
Deadlift. I don't know, because I don't do that one. Like, oh, bench press, I think my max is 70 or 80 on each side. 70 or 80. So 160 bench. And squat, I can squat 90, 180.
What do you run in the 40?
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't
faster than Cat Williams?
I'm trying to get you ready for the NFL draft, man.
Oh, man, I'm too old.
Never too old.
Yeah. Okay. Never too old.
Look, Tom Brady played till he's 45.
That's true. I guess. Yeah. I guess there's still. I still have 7 years. 8 years.
Yeah. You got time. There's guys older than you playing. Who is your favorite artist of all time in any genre?
So, man, that's interesting. They asked me that question a while ago, and I gave an answer, but I want to change my answer right now. Because after that, I kept thinking about it. I'm like, wait, what's the art that makes me the happiest? And it has to be Bengus from Capcom, the guy who drew the characters from X-Men versus Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. He's in charge of designing all that vibe and all those illustrations. He drew the Marvel versus Capcom 1, Marvel versus Capcom 2 illustrations. So it has to be him. Like, I think he's the one. And before, when they asked me that a while ago, I said James Harren, which I think he's like probably like the final boss of comic book artists right now. But it has to be Bengus, just because of like James is too young. Yeah, he's old, like, and Bengus has like this trajectory, right? So, and this whole legacy, which I mean, I'm sure James can get there, but it has to be Bengus for sure.
What is your most embarrassing moment?
Oh, goodness. Oh, man. That's a good one. There's some that are so embarrassing that I don't want to go there right now. But embarrassing. Embarrassing. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Embarrassing. Oh, man, I got nothing. Well, one day, I mean, I was embarrassed because I don't know if it's like the type of embarrassment that you know, that you would see in a comedy, but I took my car to a repair shop. The owner was like a huge comic book fan. So he let me have a car. He let me borrow a car because I had to leave my car there to get it fixed. He gave me my car. He gave me this borrow car, and then
he knew who you were.
Yeah, he knew me.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. So it's crazy. But I go to the bank, and in the parking lot, I'm backing up, and this dude with a giant truck comes without looking and smashes the borrowed car on the driver's side, like he did. Boom, and I'm like, As I see that he's coming, because I already backed up and he's coming out of his spot, but without looking. And I'm like, dude, the guy's not stopping. I start blaring the horn. And like, anyway, he hit the car. And then I felt like crap. And then I felt these dudes are going to charge me like a couple thousand for repairs, whatever. So, I mean, I don't know if it qualifies as being embarrassed, but like, I was very embarrassed, you know? I felt terrible, but they were super nice, and they're like, "No, you're good, bro. Don't worry about it. It's the worst. Were it's just tin. It's just metal. Don't worry about it. It's an accident. It can happen." And then I told that story to my dad, who lives in Argentina, and he said, "Dude, if that happened to you here, they would like find a way to take out your liver and your kidneys, you know, for you to pay the debt." But he's like, "Dude, it's great that happened. You're like very blessed." Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's what I got. That's where my mind went. Yeah.
Well, that's a nice story because I mean, at least you weren't hurt. And
right.
Like you said, it's just metal. Nothing.
Yeah.
Big deal. I don't know. I think that's really I got
something. If you could have like a magic wand and. You could fix one thing in the comics industry. If you could change one thing, one problem that you've got would be fixed forever.
Oh, man.
What would that be?
Rates.
something you hate that you wish was different.
Rates.
You would have the power to change.
Yes, I would raise all the rates.
There you go.
Yeah, and give more nice contracts to the artists and creators and writers.
Yeah,
raise the rates. Yeah.
I hope they're not listening because they just—I just got freaked out. They just froze your image. I'm wondering if we've been infiltrated and they're trying to
sell you. It's like very broad. So if certain companies are paying like good rates to their artists, they don't have to worry about it.
True. Like
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the other ones.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's a great answer.
The rates, yeah. Maybe you were thinking about like, fix this character or fix this like storyline. No, I don't care about that.
No, I like big things like that. I asked Aaron Campbell the same question, and his answer was that he would want to put in place a guarantee that AI would never be used in comics.
Oh yeah.
Oh okay, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he must be making good money because otherwise he would have set rates. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah. What's the last concert you went to?
Oh, dude, recently, Crosses. You know Crosses?
Oh, with Chino.
Chino. Yeah, dude, he killed it. It was awesome. It was fantastic.
Where was that?
It was at the Hollywood Palladium.
Oh wow!
It was awesome, dude. And the tickets were—I mean, to me, the price was reasonable. It was just $50.
Oh $50. Wow! Yeah.
At the Palladium, you could see perfectly from any angle. And you know, it's funny—I never seen Deftones live. I'm a huge Deftones guy. I never seen them live, but I've seen videos. And sometimes, you know, the songs are really hard to sing, right?
Yeah.
So now that he's like 50 something, it's I think unfair to expect him to sound just like the record, you know. But with Crosses, he killed it. I don't know how he did it, but he was like jumping up and down, running all over the stage, and like dancing and vibing, and he sang like beautifully. It was great. It was a great show, Crosses. And before that, it was like the week before, I saw Living Colour. I love Living Colour.
Wow.
I love those dudes. And they play with... I went to see Living Colour, but the main band was Extreme. You know, the band that sings More Than Words.
Yeah.
Like, they're okay, but I wanted to see Living Colour, but I saw both for the price of one. And I saw Tom Morello was there. Oh, go ahead.
I saw Living Colour 2 years ago.
Oh, for nice.
Free.
Oh, man.
Like just a local festival type thing.
And oh, I mean, man, that's great.
It was my first time seeing them, and I mean, they killed it.
They are amazing. I saw them, this is the second time I see them. The first time was in Argentina, I want to say 2008, 2007, and it was like, I was blown away by them, and you know, almost 10, 20 years later, they're still impeccable. They were impeccable. Tom Morello was in the crowd. I think he likes the Extreme. He likes Living Colour. But he likes that vibe. And then who else was there? Oh, the guitarist from A Perfect Circle.
Billy Howdrill?
Billy, yeah. He was there. And I asked my friend, hey, dude, look at this photo. Because I didn't know if my friend knew A Perfect Circle. Is this bald dude, is it the same as in the photo? Or I'm tripping? And he's like, no, it's him. So I go and ask him, and it was him, and I took a photo with him.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to see them. I'm going to see him with it's Maynard is doing.
Oh, the birthday.
Yeah.
For his birthday. Oh, man.
With Pussifer on the same stage at the same time.
Yeah.
And Primus. Yeah, Primus is opening. So I'm wondering how they're going to do that.
I don't know. That's going to be nuts.
Switching off between. Yeah.
The tickets are long gone, right?
Probably. No. They're expensive though, because it's the Hollywood Bowl, right?
Oh,
yeah,
like 200 or something.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Right. It's a pretty penny for resale, but I don't care. I don't give a shit. I'm paying it for that.
Worth it.
For that show. I already have a ticket to be able to shoot it, photography, but I'm gonna buy a ticket to stay.
Oh, okay.
But,
What are some other ones you have coming up that you're excited that you want to check out?
Concerts?
Yeah.
Or who else? Well, Korn. I mean, I don't listen to Korn right now, but it was like a huge staple of my teenage years. So I would like to see them, but apparently they sold out. They're playing in October. Buckethead, dude. Buckethead, right? In June was like, I was like very devastated when I found out I couldn't go.
Yeah.
So Buckethead, but what else I have coming up?
Do you play guitar?
No, I wish. That's another regret. And it turns out that if I hadn't played so much video games, I wouldn't have time to learn guitar and a martial art. But again, it's like video games like help me with my work, so it's not a complete waste. I would have loved to play the guitar. I'm a terrible singer. I'm a terrible singer. But I would have loved to be able to sing like one of my maybe my favorite no my favorite singer is Mike Patton from Faith No More and all the other things he has. He's my favorite.
Mr. Bungle.
I saw Mr. Bungle with the new formation, but I would have loved to see them play California. California is like one of my favorite albums of all time. But they're playing like this the Raging Bunny, the Wrath of the Eastern Raging Bunny, I don't know. And it's like death metal. The thing that they played in high school.
Yeah. They got Scott Ian in that lineup and Dave Lombardo, right? On drums.
It's insane. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah. What was like the soundtrack to your youth? What are the bands that you remember grabbed you when you were a kid?
I went through phases. My first love, quote unquote, was Kiss. Because I remember at that time the Kiss comic books made by McFarlane Productions were coming out. I don't know if you guys remember those. Mm-hmm. I think the artist was it was Angel Medina. He was drawing that. It was awesome. It just blew my mind. The toys, the McFarlane toys were coming out, like grabbed my attention right away. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, hey Dad, what is this band Kiss? I wanna listen to them. And he found some CDs. Then that was my first show, Kiss.
There you go.
When they were look at that.
Ace.
Nice. Awesome.
That's McFarlane, right?
I love it.
Oh yeah.
It is.
Space Ace. Yeah.
I got all four of them just recently.
That's awesome, man. So yeah, that was my band when I was like 10 or 11. Then I switched to Chili Peppers, Red Hot Chili Peppers. I love those in those years. Then like new metal, like Linkin Park, Limp Bizkit, Korn. And growing up, I started to diversify, like a lot of Faith No More, a lot of Tool, Perfect Circle, Nine Inch Nails, Living Color. And it pretty much stay there. I discover Primus. But yeah, that's
awesome.
Yeah, those are the best.
Story, comic book, artist related Kiss story. So, Jim Ballant, the Catwoman artist. Mm-hmm. That's his favorite band is Kiss.
Oh, and, okay.
Yeah, he told us a story of he was already a comic book artist. He was already doing Catwoman, and he bought like a VIP package to one of the tours to go see Kiss.
Hang out with them?
Well, because you buy the VIP and you get to go backstage and do photo op and talk to them for like 5 minutes or something.
That's awesome.
He did this. I think this was at least like 15 years ago, maybe more. And so he bought the VIP package so he can go backstage and meet them. And he took his portfolio with him that had like his DC Comics work and stuff. And so he went to the VIP meet and greet. He brought his portfolio of his published work and he showed it to Kiss. And he was like showing them like, I'm a really big fan of yours. I work with comics and I would love to do something with you guys at some point if you would be willing. And they were like looking at his work and they're like, oh, okay. And he says, like, weeks later, he gets this email it's from Gene Simmons asking him to get in contact with his people so he can work on some Kiss comics. And he ends up working on Kiss comic books because of that. Because he took his portfolio.
That's
he's just a fan. A fan just taking his portfolio to try to get work with Kiss.
Dude, it worked out. Yeah. Sometimes you have to be like, you have to take a chance. That's awesome. Yeah. I love that story.
Yeah. It's a crazy, hilarious story, but it worked, you know?
Yeah. So, man. I'm trying to, well, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I talked to Claudio Sanchez from Cogida and Cambria.
Yes, dude. For Emery Wars.
Yeah. I talked to him. So far, nothing. Nothing happened. But at least I think I'm in his radar. And then at LA Comic, I saw this dude so many times. LA Comic Con, he was walking with John Dolmayan from System of a Down.
Yeah.
I saw him at Monster Palooza. Again, no security, dressed like a normal guy. No one was like telling him or anything. And then on the train to one of the on the train going to San Diego like a few years ago, last year or the year before, Adam Jones from Tool.
Hell yeah, and dude.
Every time I see him, I talk to him. I give him a comic or some stickers. But I don't know if he remembers. But again, I would love to like work with him one day. Who knows? We'll see.
I saw him at the last, I saw him at San Diego, I think it was, what was it, 2022? Maybe it was
2022. Yeah, bro.
The one that, the first one back after COVID, the first real one.
Right.
Back after
COVID. It must be that one. It must be that one.
Yeah.
His wife he was wearing a mask. Like an art show. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was wearing a mask, but I knew it was him because he's got the salt and pepper hair now. Yeah, and he was tall. And so I went up to him and I was like, dude, I go, I've been wanting to tell you this since 1992. Thank you for making the penguins look so awesome, you know, from Batman Returns.
Because he did special effects. Yeah.
And so he was like, oh, thank you. You know, and then I go, what are you doing? Are you hanging out? Or and he goes, oh, my wife's actually doing some panels. And so his wife is, I forget what she had written at the time and what she was kind of, but she's he was there like, just hanging out and his wife was working.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know. Yeah. His wife is like a figurative painter. She's amazing.
Oh, painter. Okay. That's what that's what, it was a, they had a print that they were putting out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. But yeah, that dude is like so cool. I tend to forget that he also worked on like movies. I think he worked on Jurassic Park. And crazy. I didn't know that about Batman. That's awesome.
Yeah. Penguins on Batman Returns. Another buddy of ours, Rob Freitas, has worked with him as well. And he's still, Rob, our buddy Rob, is the guy that was able to engineer the cowl for Affleck to be able to move his head in Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
And so he still works in that part of the industry, mold making and he's super into monsters too, but he's got that connection with Adam Jones also because they worked on, I think his wife
worked
on projects with him.
Oh,
okay. Well, the movie stuff, like the monsters and creatures and molding and all that.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's awesome to see. And he's also like a huge Jack Kirby fan. And I mean, he has the money, you know, to buy those originals, but he has like an insane Jack Kirby collection.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever, I know you're closer now. Have you ever gone over to Golden Apple and seen all the musicians that walk around and get their comics on Wednesdays at Golden Apple Comics?
I went to Golden Apple just once, just because it's too far for me.
Yeah, it is.
And there was one time, dude, what was I doing that time? I think I had something to do. I either had an appointment with my daughter at the doctor or I was helping out a friend. I don't know. But I saw that Keanu Reeves was at the store. I cannot make it in time.
Oh, no.
Like Keanu is like one of my favorites. I would have loved to see that. But I went to Golden Apple to do a signing when I drew a Cowboy Spider-Man comic. It's just a one shot called Spider-Verse something. I don't even know the name. But the writer was Tadam Killam from Saturday SNL, and he wrote a bunch of stuff, but that was my experience with Golden Apple. Like went there for a signing.
Yeah,
it's a great store.
Yeah,
and yeah, imagine like seeing all the actors there, and it's cool to see like all these people are also like comic book fans. Like
what's crazy is that they show up on Wednesdays to buy their new books, you know?
Yeah.
And like it's wild. I went there. I forget why I was going there for a signing for something, and Twiggy Ramirez was there picking up his comics.
That's
And then I was like, oh, what's up, dude? And he's like, hey. And I forget what he said. He goes, oh, yeah, me and John Five were here last week. And I was like, oh, God. You know,
that's amazing. Yeah. Oh, man, I need to go. Oh, that's a good idea. I might try to
just go when they open up. Go when they first open up on a Wednesday and just stay there the whole day and just
okay.
Check out all the musicians that come in and out.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. Yeah, because I forget that all these people like live here, like they live in LA, like a big number of mm-hmm. like celebrities, right? I tend yeah. to forget that.
I used to live in Sherman Oaks right off of Ventura when mm-hmm. It was like 2010. I was living in Sherman Oaks. And it was like a Tuesday night. I went into the Gelson's right there. It's like the supermarket off of Ventura. And I'm walking around. I'm like, I see this guy, this kind of tall guy. He's wearing like a black trench coat. And he's got long black hair. And he's like with this really pretty blonde woman. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, is that Gene Simmons? I'm like, that's fucking Gene Simmons and his wife just walking down the aisle. So I'm like, okay, that's fucking Gene Simmons. I'm like, mm-hmm. all right, don't be that guy right now. Don't be that guy, right? And I'm like, that's fucking Gene Simmons. And so I'm like, all right, I'm not going to say anything. So I get back in my car and like I'm getting in my car and I look
and
over
you see them?
And him and his wife are just putting groceries in the back of their car. And I was like, oh, I got to fucking say something. I was like, I love you, Gene. And I swear to God, it's the most Gene Simmons thing ever. He just looks at me. He turns. He looked. No. He looked like who the fuck are you? Why are you bothering me? But right. So he like looked over at me with like a face of disgust. But he gave me like one of these. He was nice enough to acknowledge me, but he had this face of disgust. But his wife was so sweet. She was like, oh, hi. Oh, thank you for saying hi. Have a good night. Like the complete opposite, you know?
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, at least you got to see him. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And the best part right there.
I love you, Shannon.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I also saw the bass player of Papa Roach at the Best Buy parking lot.
Oh, that's I don't know if I would like recognize him. I don't know what he looks like. I know, the singer, but I don't know. I don't think I know the bassist.
I remember what he looks like because he looks like they tripped me out because they looked like Latino homeboys, you know? Yeah. they were wearing like the Dickies and they were wearing like the Pro Club t-shirts and like the Adidas. And so they were like so nu metal. I remember they were like
the
definition of nu metal. But the music they were playing, you know, was like new metal or whatever.
Right,
and I remember the bass player was like really tall. And I'll never forget what he looked like in one of the videos. And so when I was at the Best Buy, he had a completely different look. He had like a rocker look. So he had like a red bandana, long hair, and he was like rockered out. But I knew it was him. And so he was actually really cool. He was a really cool guy. Really nice guy.
That's awesome, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you're in an amazing location for shows. I mean, great market for live music, you know.
Yeah, the thing is that again, like sometimes I find out about certain shows like a little too late, so the prices are too expensive. But like for example, I couldn't go to Tool. Like Tool played recently with Elder. Have you seen them?
I shot that. I did photos for that show. Yeah, it was amazing. Nice. Yeah. Dude.
Like I love Elder, so I would have loved to see them. And then,
they're like they were loud as fuck. Like,
oh really?
Yeah, they for an opening band. I don't know, like if they just wanted them to sound that way, but they really gave them like a good sound mix for an opener.
But was it like loud and like an? But nice, like you could because sometimes it's too loud and he gets like
No. They played it was not Staples Center, they call it Crypto Arena now.
So I was
impressed that it sounded so good in such a big venue.
Wow, that's awesome, man. I wish I had gone. That sounds like a great show.
Pearl Jam is coming to the Forum.
Ooh.
Foo Fighters in August.
Okay.
Sammy Hagar at the Kia Forum, but he's playing Best of Both Worlds stuff. Iron Maiden is going to be in October.
Yes, that one I would go. Primus, I think, is playing in July at the Jamba Casino or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
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 I would like to see that too.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, keep me posted. That'd be awesome.
We gotta go to some shows because I didn't realize how local you actually were.
Yeah, and I like love music, like all these bands that you name. Like I grew up with them.
Very sick.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. I really appreciate we really appreciate you taking time to hang with us. And
yeah, absolutely. This was a lot of fun, guys.
Yeah, thank I know you. You're busy. We want to respect your time, but we want to have you back. You know, when you get more time and you got more projects coming out, especially if you start churning out some creator owned stuff. Definitely want to have you back and talk about some of that stuff as it comes out.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Everybody go check out Jurassic League. Go grab the books. And then what are you working on? Can you talk about what you're working on right
now? Yeah. I have several things, but one of the things I'm most excited about, it's a project with my friend Carlos Cabrera, who usually colors my stuff. We're working on, it was a very fun project because, you know, sometimes with projects, the thing I hate doing the most is like coming up with the story and writing the script. Like it's necessary, but it's like for me a little tedious. So we eliminated that. We eliminated the script part. And what we're doing is like, we are jamming. So we are coming up with like creatures. Like I design one monster, he designs one monster, but they have to fit in this world of like mutant sea creatures. So he drew like a penguin with a mech suit. I drew like a starfish with a giant bodybuilder body. So we're doing all these monsters, and the plan is to do like comic books, toys, obviously, a art book, and a card game, like a fighting game with cards. So yeah, we already have the mechanics of the game. It's going to be super easy to play and very like dynamic. And that's hopefully one of the things that I'm going to finish either it would be awesome to have it by San Diego Comic-Con or LA by the end of the year. So that's one. And then I'm doing a book with Dan Fogler, the actor. He's also like a huge comic book guy. So yeah. I'm drawing one of his things. And then another one with a company called Bad Idea. I think they're fairly new-ish, but they're awesome. So yeah, that's what I'm working on.
Badass, man.
Yeah, well,
you're doing Heroes Con. Any other cons coming up that you're planning on?
Yeah, Dragon Con. Unfortunately, no Wonder Con, but Dragon Con, Heroes, LA Comic Con, probably at the end of the year. And I think that's it. Oh, San Diego Comic Con as well.
Summertime.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll definitely come see you at San Diego, and then
yeah,
I'm sure if you come around to some of these other guys, they'll see you. We're all spread out, so you'll see some of us throughout the season.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Just if you come to the table and we'll hang out, we'll talk and stuff.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys. This was
awesome. It was a cool hang. Everybody go check out all the books that he's got going on. Juan Gedeon, just pumping out some good stuff. Have a great night. Thank you so much.